This is the second of the two Christmas and New Year 2017 short YMP episodes. Firstly, we have a review of the year from Mark, and then I'll be back with a brief quiz based on episodes which were published in 2017. But before all that, do look up the Gottlieb Brothers on Facebook or Twitter. They're looking for memorabilia and photographs for inclusion in a Yes 50 project. If you have anything which fits their criteria, do let them know via their online form. The link is in the show notes for this episode.
Greetings, friends. Mark Anthony Kay here. So before I get started with my little segment today, I just wanted to wish everybody again a very happy holidays. I hope everybody had a really great Christmas, and New Year's is fast approaching. I hope that all of you will have a fantastic New Year's Eve celebration. And while we're talking about New Year's, this is always the perfect time to recap the year as it was. And in thinking about 2017, us Yes fans have been pretty lucky if you think about it. There's quite a few bands that I've been following throughout the year. A lot of them have been pretty quiet as far as releases or even as far as touring. So we've been lucky on both fronts, I believe, because there's been a lot of releases that have come out this year from Yes and from members of Yes, more notably. And also there have been, you know, quite a few tours that have happened, whether it's Yes proper or ARW. So I just wanted to go over what I feel are the strongest or the albums of note for 2017. The first one that I think that's very important to discuss, and one that may be kind of forgotten about this late in the year, is Steve Howe's Anthology 2. Now, when this came out earlier in the year, I was looking forward to it very much because it was a three-disc collection. One and two were groups that he was involved with, whether it was the Syndicats or the In Crowd or Tomorrow or Bodast, Yes, Asia, GTR, ABWH. So there was quite a vast selection of stuff to go through. And disc three was a collaboration disc with various people that he worked with. So it was a really fantastic collection of songs, and one that we did discuss on the YMP podcast. I think at least once or twice we went over this album. It ranks pretty high in my Best of the 2017. In fact, I will be doing a Best of 2017 video pretty soon, and I can say that quite honestly, Steve Howe's Anthology 2 will be on that list. Another album that came out that I was very pleasantly surprised with was the Braid Downs Association record. Now, I hadn't really heard any of the prior material, so I went in with a very open slate, as it were, or a clear slate, as they say, and I really enjoyed the record. It was definitely much more on the pop end of the spectrum, but given Jeff Downs' involvement in it, you knew that there would be some progressive elements thrown into it, and there really was. I mean, the second song is an epic song. I really enjoyed the album itself. I think it was well done. It was produced well. And I think more than anything, it sort of surprised Yes fans that it was more along the lines of what Yes fans would have enjoyed than maybe some of the prior Downs Braid Association records. So hats off to those guys for a really excellent release. The top two releases as far as Yes and Yes related goes, number two would have to definitely be Stephen Virgil Howe's Nexus record. I thought that that was really well done, and given the sad circumstances around its release, I found that listening to the record, I heard a lot of joy in the music. It's interesting how well those two, maybe it's not so surprising being that they are father and son, and they do have shared genes, so to speak, but the end result is absolutely fantastic. I think that Steve Howe's guitar playing added a lot to the sort of modern stylings of Virgil Howe. And if anybody out there still hasn't picked up this record, I highly recommend it. In fact, getting the vinyl version would be probably the best bet, mainly because of the fact that you get the CD with it as well. So that's a great little bonus that you get with buying the vinyl version of the album. And number one for sure as far as the best release for 2017 would have to be the Yes release, the Yes Live album, Topographic Drama, Live Across America. Once we heard that this was coming out, I know that there was a lot of excitement in amongst the Yes community. And when we also saw the artwork for the first time, you know, the gears started spinning in everybody's head. What were we going to receive here? How good was it going to be? And I think at the end of the day, I can say with absolute sincerity that this is probably the best Yes live album I've heard in a very, very, very long time. I mean, it is sort of apples and oranges when you compare this to Yes songs, because they had, you know, primitive gear in relation to what they have now as far as recording a record. But this record is well performed, well recorded, well produced, well mixed, and well mastered, and it's an absolute joy to listen to. I bought the digital album version, I bought the CD version, and I bought the 3LP vinyl version. That's how good the record is, I believe. Very rarely do I do that, where I buy every sort of platform that the album can come out on. And I'm very happy that I did. This record, it just went past what I was expecting. After hearing some of the prior live albums, I didn't dislike them, but I knew they could have done a lot better with it. And this album, this live album, definitely proves it for me. So this one is my top pick for 2017 as far as Yes and Yes-related releases go. So what are your top releases for 2017? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Did I miss out something? Maybe I did. Let me know what you think. Until next week, which will be 2018 already, have a safe and happy new year. And until next week, this is Mark Anthony Kay saying bye for now.
So here's a short quiz. There's no prize except a sense of achievement, I suppose. What I've done is choose some fairly random bits of YMP episodes from 2017 to see if you can guess who's speaking and or what they're speaking about. There are slightly bizarrely 11 questions. I hope you enjoy it. Here's an easy one to start with. Who's this and who are they talking about?
He's in a league of his own. He's kind of like a shark. He kind of closes his eyes.
Yeah.
When he's playing, and when he's in that area of his brain where he's just kind of soaring, it's just incredible, really. And to hear it and to be on stage playing next to him, it's amazing. It really is a privilege.
Yes, as I said, easy stuff to begin with. That was Lee Pomeroy, bassist of Yes featuring ARW, talking about Rick Wakeman, who he's played with in ARW as well as many times in other situations as well. So here's the next clip. Question two. What Yes song am I on about here?
Descending piano and held vocal chorus chords complement the next section, and it really feels like the keyboards are properly integrated into the whole, not at all bolted on. If the fans were worried this version of the band would just sound like a pop outfit, then they could be very much reassured by the opening. There are bits of a more poppy feel, but Jeff Down's mastery of the array of synthesizers and other keyboards at his disposal ensures they don't stick out. Perhaps unlike every choice of his predecessor, arguably.
Well, that was me talking about Jeff Down's first outing with Yes on Machine Messiah in the episode about every member of Yes now being a newcomer. Question three, who am I describing here?
He acted out a lot of the music in an engaging and humorous way, and as I mentioned above, his playing is very, very loud.
That's from my review of ARW at Symphony Hall, and I was talking about the remarkable and remarkably loud drumming of Lou Molino. It was such a thrill to see him alongside John Anderson, Rick Wakeman, Trevor Rabin and Lee Pomeroy. I'm so glad I went. Question four. This is a bit of a departure into a Yes-related avenue. What am I describing here in my somewhat pompous manner?
So overall for me, it's an amazing collection of adventurous progressive music with its roots in the surprisingly fertile soil of bands we all know and love. It's a bit like one of those long books which is packed with fascinating information like John Kirkman's dialogue. You can pick up either at any point and love what you find. It's the antidote to banality, in music or in life. Some might contend that it's too long with too little variation, but I think if you listen carefully there's so much ingenuity going on that this record will always have something to make you nod your head, gasp in wonder at the virtuosity and creativity of the musicians involved, or chill out, as my children have banned me from saying.
It's the Levin Torn White album, which I really enjoyed discovering for the first time this year. Now on to question five. Which song from which album is Mark describing?
It starts off with its fantastic moody intro, full of low synthesizer and echoing Steve Howe guitar lines. The verses are extremely strong vocally, with John sounding fantastic. The sound of his vocals on this album is really well done, very full and easy to hear. The chorus is full of excellent vocal harmonies and strong lyrics.
It's Homeworld, the opening piece on the ladder, from an episode where we returned to the often overlooked album. For question six, it's my turn again, and here I am droning on about a particular song on a particular album, which had an anniversary this year.
Wakeman doesn't just play chords either, although that effect is wonderful. He also takes it away in solo passages which blend with the studio musicians in incredibly affecting ways, which is particularly impressive considering he's doing this remotely. Anderson throws in classic Yes lyrical elements, like the ever-opening flower, and the whole band sound like that they are committed to producing another adrenaline rush in this packed soundscape. To me, it never gets too crowded. Where it contains many elements, these are appropriate to the feel and add to the heart-pumping excitement. This time there's only 5 minutes 58 of this brilliance, but what a trip.
It's Parallels from Going for the One, which turned 40 in 2017. Okay, time for a bit of a cryptic one for number 7. What cover version is being described here?
So, we could be forgiven for expecting a bit of a car crash of a performance. In fact, the recording is wonderfully atmospheric with Tony Kaye's stunning Hammond organ introduction punctuated by drums and other instruments. It quickly builds up like a whirlwind of sound, and Kaye reminds us of his mastery of the swooping keyboard. The musical mists clear to reveal Anderson's vocal line, and as you might imagine, Squire is creating his very own wide-ranging take on the McCartney bass line. This song really rocks, with breaks for harmony vocals and the driving impulsive Bruford drums. They really take the opportunity to create a Yes arrangement with plenty of light and shade not present in the original. It's a real treat, a trip of partially psychedelic excess with loads of bass and drum-driven mayhem, counterbalanced with brilliant musicianship from all.
Well, clearly it's a Beatles song, but it is a rarity. Eleanor Rigby, which I listened to when we delved into the Yes live rarities and oddities. The car crash reference at the start was because the band did indeed crash their car on the way to this gig in Hamburg. Wouldn't it be great to hear something like this in 2018 on the Yes 50 tour? For question 8, here's Mark, and then me, describing the same Yes piece. What is it?
It's like they can read each other's minds and what each other will do next. Like those accented notes and the bass shots. Great stuff. This section concludes with Chris down on his knee, dramatically waiting to hit that last low E.
The contrast between rock and roll mode, improvised sounding jazzy and bluesy mode, and straight ahead rock soloing is incredible. I can't imagine how he's doing half of what I'm hearing.
Well, it's of course the incomparable Chris Squire's equally incomparable solo, The Fish, which mesmerises in all its forms throughout the years. Number 9 is from one of the occasions we were able to speak to Yes keyboardist Jeff Downes, but what album is he describing here?
It's very much like a sort of progressive pop epic, which was what we were really aiming for, was an expanded song along the lines of War of the Worlds or Tubular Bells, something that went through a lot of different changes, a lot of permutations, and with those recurrent themes coming back. I'm very proud of the way the album turned out, actually, because I think it's got a lot of melody to it. It's got a lot of hooks in there. That's what we were really aiming for. And so it's a very moody album. I think it's got a lot of great sections to it. Mm. And having these guest performers come on was really the icing on the cake as far as we were concerned.
It is, of course, DAB3 Skyscraper Souls. And I still have a copy to give away in the new year, so listen out for that. Almost at the end now, here's the penultimate question, number 10. Who are Mark and I talking about here?
What he's playing has actually changed. When he does those rhythm parts, he's adding more, or it's just better, or what?
I just find that it's not so much that he's adding more, but I just find that he's more locked in. A lot of the little things that he improvises in within it are more solid. I find that it's more locked. Sometimes when you try to improvise on things, because you're doing it on the spot sort of things, sometimes it locking in with the rest of the band doesn't happen as strongly as it would in that sense. You know what I mean?
Well, it's Steve Howe in an episode we did about whether Yes is now the Steve Howe show. And finally, here's the last question. Which ensemble am I talking about here?
The guitar sound is a little more rock and roll than Howe's. The drums are synthesised and the bass isn't exactly like Squire's either. But who cares? The feeling which blasts out of this recording much more than makes up for these aspects, with its energy and infectious joy of playing this extraordinary music.
That's me describing the Band Geek's rendition of South Side of the Sky with Tom Brislin on keyboards. So there you are. How did you do? It's been a fantastic 2017 despite some ups and downs, as in every year, and the YMP has gone from strength to strength thanks to your support. So whether you're a listener, a contributor, or a patron, thank you so much for all you've done to keep the show on the road. It's only worth doing because of you. 2018 looks like it will be one of the most important years in the history of the band, so I can't wait to get started on Yes 50. I do hope you'll be there to share it.